And the race is ultimately about faith in Jesus Christ. And it's difficult. When you really want to trust Him, then the difficulties come. You see, some people want to follow Jesus their way, but yet we are not God. We do not choose the specifics of the race. It is set before us, or literally continually being set before us.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, in your message today, we're talking about how to run the Christian life victoriously. And there are things that are good things, but they can actually hinder our ability to run the race.
You know, Dave, we're going to see in today's message that there are things that hinder us in our walk with Christ, and we need to be aware of that, because just like a runner in any race wouldn't run with a heavy jacket on, we need to be aware of those things that might pull our eyes so slightly off of Jesus Christ, and our walk with Him would be hindered. Today, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, so if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn there as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
So He is changing us right now, and we should be focused on those things in the context of what He's revealed in His Word. We're in a race, and that race began when we were saved. And now, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, we are being conformed to the image of His Son. And by faith, when we believe what He has said, trusting Him, we obey Him, He changes us and makes us more like Him. And we are then able to endure through the difficulties. So it's by His Word we grow in respect to salvation as we respond to it. Later on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, we see that God's will for us is our sanctification. To be set apart. He had a specific there, but His will is for to be set apart, sanctified. And the means in which He does that is by revealing His truth, His ways, His will in His Word to change our ways and our will. We see this in the truth of the Word. We see it in Philippians chapter 3, that we are on our way to glory. Later on in Philippians chapter 3, He says, I'll read it for you, verse 20, for our citizenship is in here. No, in heaven. That's where our citizenship, for which we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of this humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of power He has to even subject all things to Himself. We are on our way to glory, but on that way we are to be about His will and His ways, and that is His plan for us. That's the race that is set before us. And we forget that. We need to see our troubles and trials through that. Are my troubles? We'll see it later on in Hebrews. If we do it next week, we'll see that much of our troubles are because we're needing to be spanked so that we would be more and more like Jesus, because He loves us like a godly parent. Our troubles are sin. Our troubles are wrong thinking, and God is graciously desiring that we don't have that type of trouble, that it is weeded out of us. And within that, it may bring trouble for being righteous, but that He will use for His glory in our lives. So then, the race is set before us. You say, well, what is His will? Well, I've already shared that. It's sanctification. It's Christ-likeness. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, beloved brethren, by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for, notice this, salvation through sanctification by the Spirit through faith in the truth. That's the process. God has chosen us for that path. That's the path we're on. And He says, and it was for this He called you through the gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way we're headed. It's only sin in our hearts and minds that causes us to be distorted and not see the glory of what God has planned for us in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, He says, I urge you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living holy sacrifice. This is the first application of the gospel in the book of Romans. acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And then verse 2, Romans 12. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, notice this, that you may prove or demonstrate what the will of God is. When our minds are changed through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, our wills are changed, then we demonstrate in our actions as we obey the Lord, His will for us. And He says it is that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. So the race is set before you. It is His will manifest from His Word. That's the race. And it's while we're on the way to glory. And the race is ultimately about faith in Jesus Christ. And it's difficult. When you really want to trust Him, then the difficulties come. You see, some people want to follow Jesus their way, but yet we are not God. We do not choose the specifics of the race. It is set before us, or literally continually being set before us. The race in which we're to run is continually being exposed for us, over and over and over again, if you're willing to look. So then, the Christian life is the good fight of faith to trust the Lord God and to obey His Word over all the voices of the flesh, Satan, our desires, this passing world. And the race is lined with temptation, suffering, continual attacks from the most powerful foe. Yet there is a peace and a joy in the midst if we are actually on the course, fixing our eyes, as we will see, on Jesus. So it's temporal. The race is set before you, and it is time to run. Are you running? Are you in the race, or is your life about your problems? Or is it about trusting Jesus Christ, obeying Him, regardless of what is going on around you, regardless of the difficulties in your life? Is it about trusting Jesus personally in every response? Is it about trusting Jesus personally in every situation, obeying Him, desiring to do so, when failing, confessing and being forgiven? That's the race of faith. So then, notice back in our passage, he says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He begins our passage with the word therefore. Now, in the Greek language, there are many different ways to say therefore. And within this, this happens to be three of them put together, which means it's emphatic. Therefore, he says, since we have this, run the race with endurance that's set before you. So we need to understand what this therefore is there for. And so you might remember that in chapter 11, God is testifying of, he is witnessing of the fact of those who trusted him and endured to the end. That's what chapter 11 is about. It is not their personal testifying. It is God testifying of them that they made it to the end. And so we have in the beginning of our passage, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Now, this isn't like some people have taught, this great cloud, a bunch of saints in heaven cheering us on right now. They're in this heavenly coliseum going, go, Greg! No, they're not doing that right now. That's not what this is saying. It is those who have been testified of. They are those who are witnesses to, by God's testimony, that the race can be run through faith and endured to the end. Remember, in chapter 11, it's about faith, right? Quick read reveals it's the Old Testament saints that are revealed here, that their lives were characterized by faith and that they endured. We see faith from start to finish. Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice by faith. That was the start. Enoch walked with God, pleasing him by faith, and was taken without dying. That's the end. And then there are more examples. Noah, by reverent faith, obeyed God and built an ark after being warned. He listened to God's word, and he did it. Are you like Noah in that sense, listening to what he says and acting on it? No matter what the world says, no matter what's going on around you, I don't think there was much support for Noah in his ark building. Abraham, by faith, obeyed God, living as a foreigner in the land of promise, ultimately looking forward to his heavenly home. He, by faith, obeyed God by offering up Isaac, verses 8 to 10, 7 to 19 in chapter 11. What about Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, and the many unnamed? They all believed God, They believed what he said, and that was exhibited in their actions. And they endured to the end. They are normal people, even messed up, yet they believed God and his word and thus obeyed and endured. And their testimonies are summarized in chapter 11, but they are exposed throughout the scriptures. They endured and fought the good fight to the end. And God testifies of them. They ran the race that was set before them, and they made it. They finished. They won. They fought the good fight to the end. What would be said about you by God? Would he testify of you the same as those, as we read in Hebrews 11? So these are witnesses in the sense that their lives and deaths bear testimony that the race can be run successfully in the midst of great difficulty. They believed, they trusted, they obeyed, and they endured to the end. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, cloud means a large amount in unity in a sense, great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. The term surrounding means encircling, encompassing us. They're everywhere. They're all throughout the scriptures. Look and see those who endured by faith. Get your heart out of your circumstances and your troubles and whatever it might be, and focus on the truth of what God reveals concerning those who endured to the end. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Sometimes we don't see it that way, because all we see is ourselves. And the reality is we need to be looking at the examples that God testifies of, who failed at points but yet did trust the Lord and obeyed. And thus by faith they endured. So run the race, recalling the testimony of previous victors. You've got to be in the Word to do that. With a right heart, not just a mechanical on read about this, a desire to know the truth that God declares in his Word. Now notice we need to run with faith. Back in verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of testifiers, or the ones God testifies to surrounding us, they're everywhere in Scripture. Therefore, he connects it with chapter 11. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And then the main passage, let us run with endurance the race, right? So notice he said this word, also. Let us also. Very interesting, because that also implies the fact that all of those Old Testament saints who endured by faith laid aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles. It comes upon us, brothers and sisters, you've got to lay it aside, as we will see, every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Well, what are these encumbrances, first of all, that we are to lay aside? The term lay aside speaks of taking off a garment, like of a clothes, getting rid of, giving it away over there, right? Taking it off, getting rid of it. So also, like they did, laying aside every encumbrance, run. That's what the focus is. So what is it we are to simply lay aside or get rid of? First of all, he says every encumbrance. The term encumbrance simply means weight. And again, within the running metaphor, if you were a runner and you were weighed down by something, you are not going to run well in the race. Now, weights and encumbrances may not necessarily be outright sin. It could be, but maybe not necessarily. They are simply things, as we will see, that hinder our faith in Jesus. They may be actually good things, but if they get in the way of us being in his word and trusting in him, they are an encumbrance. Notice he doesn't explain what they are, because there are all kinds of different possibilities for each and every one of us. It is whatever weighs you down in this good fight of faith, whatever causes you to have your eyes pulled off of Jesus, maybe good things, whatever it might be, every encumbrance. Remember, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. And so those things that prevent us. So what things are encumbering you from trusting Jesus? Maybe they're good things. What things are in the way? You need to take it off and lay it aside. Certainly could be sin. We know that, obviously. But we need to recognize what things are encumbering me from being in the Word of God. What things encumber me from getting to church? What things encumber me from being in a Bible study? What things encumber me from being in the Word of God? What things encumber my heart and mind from focusing and trusting in Jesus Christ? And again, they may be good things, they may be bad things. So what we need to do is go to the Lord And I think you know right away. We need to go to the Lord, but I think you know those things that are in the way, whatever they might be. Confess them if they're sin, attitudes, actions, whatever it is in the way from trusting Jesus. You're worried, whatever it might be, confess it. Go to the Lord with prayer and supplication. You got difficulty in your life, pulling your eyes off Christ, confess it. Turn away from it. There may be some good things that would be good, but you have over-focused on them, and they are in the way of trusting in Jesus Christ. Lay aside everything. What good things or bad things are hindering your walk, your faith in Christ? Take them off like a dirty garment and lay them aside. Every single one. You need to do an inventory. What things are bogging me down in trusting Jesus? Plain and simple. Being in His Word and truly believing what He has said. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also, they did it. They laid aside every encumbrance. Let us also do the same thing. Let's do the same thing, brothers and sisters. Let us also do that. Lay it aside. You know what's in the way. Lay it aside. And notice he says also, and the sin which so easily entangles us. The verb lay aside, laying aside of the participle also implies to this. Lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us. Now it's interesting because we certainly need to lay aside sin. Sin in general, not good, right? Sin and the race doesn't go together, right? That would certainly encumber me. So that includes everything in that area, right? But here, it's interesting because he says it in a way in the Greek, lay aside the sin. It's a specific thing that encumbers us or easily entangles us. And what is that sin that is being spoken of here? Well, throughout the book of Hebrews, the sin that they've been warned about consistently is persistent unbelief. Hebrews 2:1, 3:12, 4:1, the sin of unbelief in God and His Word. Hebrews 11, we see in Hebrews 11 that faith comes from hearing, and it's impossible to please Him apart from faith. It's impossible. You see, if we don't believe, we are in trouble. If we have unbelief in an area of our lives, it is going to completely entangle us in trusting Jesus. Obviously, that makes sense, right? If you've got unbelief, you're not trusting Him, right? You've got an area of unbelief, you're not going to be able to trust Him, okay? So he says, lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us. One pastor says, the primary block to gaining the prize is the sin that so easily entangles us. Since the writer does not specify what it is, it may be taken for granted that the sin is continually that which is warned about in Hebrews, persistent unbelief. Not believing what God says. Not believing it. Now, it's not simply believing what God says concerning what we like or want to do. It's also concerning the consequences for things, too. You know, sometimes we don't take what God says very seriously when He says you're going to reap what you sow. We don't take what God says seriously about His Word. We don't take it seriously at times. And so here, when we doubt His Word and thus God, then we are entangled. We cannot run that race. And this term entangled speaks of something that is cleverly placed around something. It means to exert tight control, to control tightly. The sin that so easily entangles us, that exerts tight control on us, so easily is unbelief. When we do not believe what God has said concerning. We don't believe. He says, don't be worried. We worry. We don't believe the consequences of sin. We don't believe that if we actually trust in Him, we pray and with supplication and thanksgiving, He will protect our hearts and minds. If I don't believe that, that's unbelief. It's entangling me. And I could take so many different passages and apply that. When I don't believe that I should be truly, essence, loving my wife or loving your husband, whatever it might be, when I don't effectively apply that in my heart, I think I can just get away with not doing that, I'm entangled. The reality is we need to obey the Lord and believe His Word. And when I don't believe His Word, I'm not going to obey Him. Now, I may believe it, but I don't believe it, right? So then, the sin that so easily or cleverly places itself around us, set it aside. Confess it, because we will all fail. We will all fail. We're not there yet. But when you find yourself not, in essence, believing what God has said, confess. He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is so gracious. So we are to, first of all, like they did, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. So how are we to run this race that the Lord puts before us victoriously? We've got to be in the right race. We need to recall the testimony of previous victors. They believed, they obeyed, they endured. We need to run with faith, believing what God has said, setting aside obstacles to trusting in Jesus, confessing the sin of unbelief when we are entangled. And then notice we need to run with endurance. Back to chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. We'll talk about that all day, right? And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The term endurance means to remain under. It speaks of perseverance. It means enduring. And he says, let us run with endurance. You see, the point he makes in chapter 11, as we'll see here, is that faith produces endurance. So when I trust the Lord, I'm going to endure. So run with endurance. Run, as we will see, fixing your eyes on Jesus and trusting Him, and you're going to endure. Run with endurance. Let us do. Set aside these things and let us run with endurance. Let us run in a way that is characterized by endurance. Now, how do we gain endurance? Well, we need to know and recognize and believe the truth of Scripture and trust in the God of the truth. You see, the testing or the proving of our faith produces that endurance. I need to understand that when I'm tested, when my faith is being demonstrated. Romans chapter 5, turn there. Romans chapter 5, we've seen this in our Bible study. Speaking of Christ, verse 2, through whom we have received our induction by faith into this grace in which we stand, marvelous. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God, marvelous again, right? And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing, and you need to know it. See, when I believe God's word, that I'm going to endure. Knowing that tribulation brings about, and this is perseverance, means hupomone, it means endurance. Tribulation brings about perseverance. You see, for the believer, what's really wonderful is when you trust Jesus in the context of difficulty, you will persevere because God is faithful.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Today's message from the book of Hebrews is available to hear again online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. When you visit our website, you'll not only find today's broadcast, but a host of additional audio resources waiting there for you. As a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. This is made possible because of the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, in your message today, you talked about the Christian life in a way that maybe some of our listeners hadn't thought of before, or perhaps even was disturbing to them.
You know, Dave, as we see in Scripture, when one comes to Christ, a battle begins. It's a battle with one's flesh. It's a battle against the world. It's a battle against our enemy, Satan. And within that, there are many, many difficulties in this temporal life. There's the suffering, but as the Lord reveals in His Word, there are the glories to follow. So yes, this life is very difficult, this temporal life on earth. But yet within that, if you've truly come to faith in Jesus Christ, you will have joy and peace that you could never, ever, ever have apart from Him. And within that, even though there are sufferings, God is bringing forth an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So yes, it is difficult, and we are following in the footsteps of Christ who endured suffering to the point of dying on a cross. But within that, Christ is with us. And if we fix our eyes on Jesus, he will enable us to endure the difficulties of this life. And within that, we will have joy and peace like you've never known.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.